ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपं कदा मह्यं ददाति सपदान्तिकम्। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। डॉक्टर विजय, यू हैव टू आल्सो म्यूट प्रभुजी।
यस सर।
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So today we are starting the series of science of death. Okay, so science of death is very intriguing and very interesting, and it has been a subject of wonder, suspense, and area of unknown. It's like man is still venturing into this field, and scientifically this science is called as thanatology, thanatology. Thanatos is death, and thanatology is science of death. And because of the abstract understanding, because of the abstract situation of the phenomenon of death, there still has been lot of confusion and lot of curiosity and lot of mystic situation in this subject matter. But we being medical people, and we being also people on the spiritual path, lot has been given in our scriptures. And not only Vedic scriptures, but all scriptures. All scriptures are like Bible, like Quran, like other Zoroastrian. There is some or other detailed information given in all scriptures about this phenomenon of death. And the most interesting part about this phenomenon death is that everybody has to undergo it. That's the whole thing. It is not like some people are doctors, some people are engineers, so everybody doesn't have to be doctors. So what the subject matters are concerned with doctors are only concerned with doctors. But this situation of the phenomenon of death is concerned with every single person who has taken birth. Whether he is human being or other animal or birds or fish, everybody has this phenomenon. And everybody at least logically understands that one day it will come, then we also have to face the exam. And the amazing thing about this is that we go to crematorium, we go to burial grounds, we go to cemeteries, and we mourn over there, and we say, oh, life is so temporary and life can go anytime, and we develop some renunciation by sitting in the, by attending the funeral of somebody, and we say, oh, look at this, how flickering the life is, how temporary the life is, how everything is so futile, everything will be taken away from us within no time. All these kind of thoughts and discussions take place in the ground of crematorium. But we come back again and get into our routines, and then what happens is, we think that we are not going to die. It's all for those who are dead and those family members who have lost their family member. So that is something which is very mysterious and very surprising in the world, that those who are living, they think that we will never die. So today we will speak about concepts of palliative care and hospice. This is a scientific presentation which I have presented in USA, in UK, and in all my training modules about hospice and palliative care. And also in my presentation about spiritual care at the moment of death. And we have written textbook chapters on this subject in a very vivid way, in a very elaborate way, in our textbook of spiritual care in nursing. So let me go ahead now. Palliative care, the word palliation means comfort. Comfort giving care. Palliation is not cure. Palliation is only making the patient comfortable. If he has pain, he should be free from pain. If he has got some discomfort, he should be free from discomfort. And that discomfort can be at any level. Can be at physical level, mental level, emotional level, social level, or economical level, or spiritual level. There can be dissatisfaction at many level, discomfort at many level. And palliation also means creating comfort at all these levels. It's not only medical level. It's medical, psychological, psychiatric, emotional, financial, social, intellectual, and spiritual. So with this understanding of palliation, we define palliative care as given in the standard world textbooks of palliative care. It is active total care. This word is important because active means it's not that, oh, somebody is dying, so hardly anything is there to do for the dying people. It's a very active and total care. Why is total care? I'll explain to you. The care is given to the patient having terminal disease and to his family members from the point of diagnosis to 13 months after the death of the patient. That's why it is called total, because it is not only given to the patient who has terminal disease. It is given to the all family members who are very close and near and dear ones. Mother, father, wife, husband, children, friends who are very attached. Everybody undergoes different emotional situations. So the care is right from beginning focused or directed towards the patient who is diagnosed and towards all the people who are connected. We write family members here, but it also includes friends and neighbors and whoever is concerned, whoever shares the heart with the person. And another aspect of total care is from the time of diagnosis. Somebody may be diagnosed as stage 1 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and that time there is only medical care. No palliative care is coming in between, but it starts. Then a stage comes where the patient goes in stage 4, even after chemotherapy, even after everything. And then only what remains is waiting for death. At that moment of time, then everything becomes active. Psychological care, emotional care, allied care, respite care, all kinds of variety of care becomes active. And why 13 months after death? Because death is supposed to be the end of the care. But no, the family members who are very close and who have been involved right from beginning, they undergo a lot of grief due to loss of the beloved. And that grief goes on for many months. And as per the emotional requirement, the care is given. But what happens is when the person completes 1 year of death, then on the death anniversary of the deceased, all the event becomes relived. It's a very amazing phenomenon. Suppose 17th January was the date of death of the beloved. So when 17th January next year comes, on 16th January only they'll start discussing, this year at this time he became breathless. Then at night time, doctor had to be called, and then the ladies came running for spiritual care, and the friends came, and then they did exchange, and then at 1 o'clock in the night, he got a last breath, and he ended his life, and then this happened, and my auntie collapsed, and my friend cried like anything. So they relive the whole event as if the death is taking place again. So the same emotions are there, as if death is taking place today. So that means all that is revised. Everything is revised. The wife, the way she cried on that day of death, she again cries on this day also. So because of reliving of the whole event, again the care is intensified. And then after 1 month of the event, then they settle down. Sometimes it goes on for years. Sometimes it settles down there. So as per the requirement, the care is given. But by definition, the care is given till 1 year and 1 month after the death of the deceased. So to revise again, palliative care is defined as active total care to the patient having a terminal disease and his family members from the point of diagnosis to the 13 months after death. So again, to revise certain more things, who is a terminal patient? Terminal patient is a patient who is diagnosed to have a disease which can lead him to death. It can be the cause of his death, because it may have treatment, it may not have treatment, and finally the disease itself will be the cause of the death. So it is active total care. Second thing is for the patient who is with terminal illness. Palliative care can be given to all patients in ICU also who are under curative care. Curative care means they will get well and go home, mostly. But comfort giving care can be that time also. So comfort giving care is also available that time, but it is not very active because curative care is fully on. So palliative care is mainly offered to patient with terminal illness. It is also offered to family members and the close ones and near and dear ones. Another aspect of palliative care is a multidisciplinary team, which we will explain to you, that it is not only doctor who is involved in that. There are many different faculties are involved in palliative care. That is another reason it is called as total care. And it is especially focused when there is apparently no cure. That we know is already a disease which there is no treatment, only trial and error is there. We can try chemotherapy, we can try radiation, we can try surgery, we can try this, we can try that, we can try Ayurveda, but actually there is no treatment. So this is where the palliative care becomes more active and focused. And holistic care is given from diagnosis to bereavement. These terminologies are very typical. I will go and explain to you. And one is holistic care. Holistic care is understood at two levels. One level is body, mind and soul. This is one understanding of holistic care. So every aspect of a person is included. Another aspect of holistic care means you have allopathy, you have Ayurveda, you have homeopathy, you have Unani, you have Panchakarma, you have acupuncture. This is another aspect of holistic care. That means all the range of available medical care is given to the patient. And also it is given to three levels, body, mind and soul. Now this particular diagram is extremely important because, this tells you the time period. Let us go to the left side of the diagram where diagnosis is mentioned. This is where the actual thing starts. But it is minimal. At the time of diagnosis, the palliative care is minimal. And what is red zone is actual medical treatment to cure the patient, attempts done to cure the patient. And you can very well see, as the time goes, the medical treatment goes on reducing and palliative care goes on increasing. Because, you know, six chemotherapies are given, still there is a growth in the lymph nodes, and like that it continues. So then you come to the situation of pain, that why am I going to get well or not well. At that time the comfort giving care is increased. One point comes, you can see where I have started, the yellow bar is there here, standing bar, where the green arrow is showing. At that point, the doctors who are doing curative medical care, they will inform ki, sir, abhi isme kuch hone wala nahi hai. Now, medical care mein jo bhi hona hai, wo ho gaya hai. Radiotherapy is given, chemotherapy is given, surgery is done, and medicines are given, all key, but the disease is not responding, it is increasing only. So, he is officially handed over to palliative care team. That means, suppose Dr. Suraj Purushottam is the treating doctor in the earlier period of red triangle upside down, then he will hand over to Dr. Vinita Sharma. The patient will be transferred. So now the chief doctor will be Dr. Vinita Sharma, who is the hospice doctor, the palliative care physician. And then, when the patient is given into palliative care, when there is approximate prediction that the patient may have 6 months to live, that time the patient is transferred to hospice institution. Hospice is a specific institution which cares fully about palliative care in a fully dedicated manner. There is no curative treatment there. There is no ventilator there. There is no DC shocks there. There are no adrenalines over there. There is no dopamine drip there. There is no anything, intracardiac adrenaline. All those things are not there in hospice. Hospice is totally dedicated when the patient is prepared mentally. The doctors who are curing the patients have decided that now we cannot do anything more in this patient. And only what you can do is, generally they say, pray to God and wait for death. So that time our work really begins. So this particular 6 months which is mentioned here, at this time the patient is transferred to hospice. And hospice has two aspects, home care or inpatient care. So either he will be in inpatient care depending on the seriousness, or he will be at home depending on the condition of the patient. And the yellow part you will see, it is now tapering down at one point of time, that gradually the patient will deteriorate and he will die. Now there is one line here, the bar is here, the bar ends, the hospice bar ends, that is called death. And the next part, which is the tapering yellow part, is bereavement care. And the bereavement care means grief. Bereaved means the pain that you suffer after somebody's demise, or you lose something. For example, you suddenly lose 2 crores of rupees in share market, or you your house is burnt, or your dearmost grandma died in village, or suddenly your husband undergoes accident, or you lose your degree, you lose your registration because of some mistake, professional mistake. So you undergo grief. And that grief has to be handled. And the treatment, the handling of the grief is called bereavement care. It is not necessary that always death has to occur to give bereavement care. Bereavement care is given at any loss. When any loss creates some deficiency in emotions and you feel very sad, the bereavement is given. So here in this case, death is the cause of giving bereavement care. And then person dies, and all the bereaving people, all who are crying people, who are in pain, who are suffering emotionally, their care goes on for the next period. I told you, here it is mentioned 6 months, but it is 13 months. So repeatedly, again, in the first area, there are therapies to relieve the suffering and improve the quality of life. And palliative care is accompanying adjuvant. And as time goes, the relieving therapies go on reducing, and the comfort-giving care goes on increasing. At one point of time, it is handed over to hospice institution just before 6 months approximately. It can be 9 months, it can be a year also, but when there is no hope in life. And then the hospice takes care, hospice manages all the levels of care, hospice handles death also, and after death the hospice team also handles the next care, that is bereavement care. So this is a very important point, what I have shown in the slide, that palliative care is a broad concept. Hospice is a subset of that, and there is one subset in hospice also, which is called as end of life care. So palliative care is a broad term. Death need not be there. Hospice is directly dealing with death and pre-death and post-death condition. And a subset of intense activity of hospice, which is hospice is well prepared for, is the end of life care. Next slide shows the difference between hospital and hospice. Now these two things have to be understood very carefully. In hospital, the patients come to get cured when they are sick or injured. In hospice, people go when they know that they are going to die, and they know that they have terminal illness, and they do not go to get cured there. Hospice is not meant for giving cure to patients. Right from beginning, the philosophy is very clear. When the patients who are brought there, even the relatives who are bringing their patients there, they are very, very aware, even before coming to the hospice, that my patient is not going to get cured here. My patient is going to get cared for here. So next point is, people hope to get well in hospital and people do not hope to get well in hospice. Hospital needs, generally majority point of view, hospital addresses large medical needs and few mental psychological needs also due to psychiatry and psychology. But hospice addresses medical, emotional, psychological, economical and spiritual needs, all encompassing. By definition, in hospital the focus is on curing, and in hospice the focus is on comfort. Now a little history to tell you about how the hospice began. You may be surprised that in the olden times there was nothing like hospice. Today the hospice has come into being because the families have become nuclear. When they were joint families, sometimes in a big house in America, in England, in India, mostly sometimes 50 people would stay together. Big house, and uncles, aunties, brothers, brothers, wives, children, grandchildren, cousins, all would stay together. So anybody would come to a stage of dying, then the whole family would come together and take care. There was no need of sending them to another place to take care. There were enough team there. But as the families became very nuclear, everybody separated, everybody is leaving only husband and wife and having one child. So when that parent is about to die, there is nobody. Also in the olden days, the people would go for pilgrimages, and the pilgrimages would be walking in the Himalayan mountains and everywhere. And they were also understanding that if a father goes on pilgrimage with mother, they may not come back. They will die on the way somewhere with some calamities, austerities, difficulties, unknown difficulties in the way to pilgrimage or in the place of pilgrimage. So the word hospitium came up, the way hospitium came up, because people on pilgrimage would be falling sick on the way. So there were some religious organizations who created hospitium, a place where pilgrims can be nursed. Maybe they can be a little bit felt better, they can go ahead in pilgrimage, or they can die in the hospitium. So the word hospice has come from hospitium, the concept of helping the pilgrims from their pains or diseases on the way to pilgrim. So there was a person called Dr. Cicely Saunders, who was actually a nurse before, but she, after becoming a nurse, she also became a doctor. She studied medicine, and she founded the movement called hospice movement. Currently what we are having is the movement founded by her. She was a nurse. She served in World War One, World War Two also. She hurt her back. She became social worker. She works in the hospice. She became a doctor and started hospice program. And then she took up medicine. She became doctor. And she became single person IDT. Now what is IDT? IDT is interdisciplinary team, which I will explain to you further. So this is a bit brief history. She is the mother of hospice. Like we have Hippocrates as a father of medicine, she has mother of hospice. Types of palliative care. These definitions are important. One type is inpatient care. That means the terminally ill patient is admitted in the hospice, and he is in some IV, some medicine, some painkiller, some oxygen is going on. Then those people who are terminally ill, given up by the medical doctors who are treating them, but they are not actively require any medical care. They are oxygenated well on their own, but they are bedridden. So they are under home care. So palliative care is divided in two, basically, mostly in two, inpatient and home care. There's a team which looks after the inpatient. There's a team which looks after the home care. That means visiting home regularly. Those who are registered in hospice, they are visited by the team regularly. The team consists of doctor, nurse, attendant, and a spiritual care person. And in the hospice in Vrindavan, we do all these things. Then third care is end of life care. As I told you, it's a subset of hospice care, but one of the important event which is awaited in through all this terminal illness is a end of life, which you call as death. So there's a full science of end of life care. I will give you a full seminar. It takes about 2.5 hours, which we have developed here, the full presentation, which in the course of Science of Death series I will present to you. So third level of care is end of life care. On fourth level of care is respite care. This is a very important, innovative, wonderful concept. Respite care means sometimes a terminally ill person is ill terminally for 4 to 5 years. And since the time of diagnosis till the point of death, there are sometimes 4 years and 5 years also. So this terminal illness just goes on prolonging, and it's not that they are wishing that the father should die, but somehow the thing goes on for 4 to 5 years. And then what happens? The caretakers start getting exhausted. The caretakers start falling sick. The caretakers start getting diabetes, hypertension, hypothyroidism, and overweight, and they develop sometimes infections and everything. So hospice is called as total care because it also cares for the family members. So the concept of respite care means all the caretakers, for example daughter, for example wife, for example husband, for example a friend, for example a neighbor, who are very in close touch, they are already exhausted now. So what they do is they relieve all the caretakers, admit the home care patient in the active hospice, and for 15 days the all care is taken care by the hospice team by admission, and the caretakers, Vijay Kumar Gavli, come, please become visible, and the caring team, they go for a picnic or a rejuvenation or a health retreat, or they go for swimming, they go for nature walk, they are as relieved completely. So instead of having them completely collapsed and the caretakers to get admitted in the hospital with some disease, regularly, once in 3 months or once in 4 months, it's a plan between the hospice and the team who's taking care of the patient. It's a very well understood. Proactively, the caring team is sent for a retreat. There's no guilt in that. It's a very wonderful plan. Before the caretakers start falling sick, they are sent for rejuvenation. And they really have fun. They have swimming, they go for yoga, they go for massages, and they go for nature walks. They enjoy, they watch movies, they eat food that you like, they go with the nature, rejuvenate and come back and take the patient home again. So this respite care is also there in curative hospital. The hospital which is trying to cure the patient also, sometimes the disease goes on for a long time and the caretakers really get exhausted. For example, I have a baby who is a cerebral palsy baby, and sometimes the mother gets totally exhausted. So the concept also is coming up that such babies who are highly demanding care, or their taking care is not easy, it requires a team to take care of such a handicapped person or a physically challenged person, then the child who is handicapped like this may not leave the world in 5 years. The child may live till 40 years, till the grown-up man and woman. So this mother and this kind of people need to get respite care. So a very well developed center has to be developed for respite care for such people who are having some physical abnormalities. It can be a profound abnormality, it can be severe, it can be moderate, it can be mild. It can be occupationally rehabilitable or may not be occupationally rehabilitable. But in all cases, the mother is young when she gives a child to birth to child. Now the child is now growing, she is 20 years or 25 years and 30 years, the mother becomes 70 year old. And the child is still handicapped and child needs the same kind of care when the child was born. So the understanding of respite should be there in all medical faculties, that the caretakers need relief so that they can go on serving for a long time. And the last care is, fifth care is bereavement care, as I told you, when death takes place. After that, for some period of time, which is understood well between the bereaving team and the caring team, maybe 6 months, maybe 8 months, maybe, but mostly it is 13 months, 1 month after death. So these are types of care: inpatient care, home care, end of life care, respite care, and bereavement care. Then what are the problems which the terminally ill people face? One is medical. Mostly it is pain, excruciating pain. Sometimes there is disfigurement because of surgery. For example, tobacco causes cancer of gums and gums and the tongue and some cheek tissue, When surgery is done, it is all removed from there. Jaw is removed, half jaw is removed, half the tongue is removed. So a lot of disfigurement is there. And it gives light to a lot of social, physical, mental problems. Psychologically, there is fear of death, which is very, very common. Mostly all terminally ill people are fearful that death is coming very soon. When death comes very closer, they become lonely because people leave them and go away. When they are on the bed in terminally ill condition, they feel I am worthless, I am useless. I was so important and fruitful person. People who take advice from me, now I am useless. And because of that lack of attention from others, he gets angry, he gets depressed, he gets worried. So these are some of the major psychological problems. What is social problem? Fine, money is over. Doing all kinds of treatment, this treatment, that treatment, alternative treatment, variety of treatments to try to survive, and it all appears to be failing. So there is exhaustion, emotional exhaustion, financial exhaustion, lack of support, and they break the assets, they become bankrupt. So this is social condition. And what is spiritual condition? There is a lot of guilt is there. Oh, I did so many sinful activities. I hurt so many people. I did not do worship of God, although I was told by my friends. Will I be degraded after my death? Is God angry with me? Why me only? What is going to be my fate after death? Will I be going to hell or heaven? All these things become relevant. Today, if I ask a young girl, a young man like all of you, this becomes an irrelevant statement. But at the time of terminally ill diagnosis and being under treatment, all this is coming. So there is medical problem, typical, this typical psychological problem, very typical social problems, and very typical spiritual problems. So that's why this is important aspect to understand. What is the content of palliative care? These are the five main contents of palliative care. One is the medical care, that means mainly focused to cure the pain, pain management, comfort management, that is sometimes we do some things called as palliative radiation, sometimes we do something called as palliative surgery also. It is not for curing, but giving comfort. For example, the tumor is pressing over the chest only, causing difficulty in breathing. So they give radiotherapy sometimes to reduce the size of the tumor and reduce the pressure on the chest. That is called palliative radiation. Or they may do surgery and remove that particular tumor. There are hundreds of tumors in the body, but one tumor is pressing over the chest, causing depression in breathing, and it's causing suffocation. So that particular tumor only is removed. It's not curative, it's only palliative. Sometimes palliative chemotherapy also is given because the tumor size is growing, it's causing a lot of difficulties in abdomen, in bone, in lungs, in brain, in heart, somewhere pressing over the heart. So chemotherapy is given just to reduce the size of the tumor to make the patient comfortable. Second care is nursing care. Nursing care means there may be bed sores, there may be painkiller IV drips, there may be so many things are there in nursing care. 24/7 there is active, very hard-working care that nurses are giving. Sometimes one-on-one dressing takes place for 45 minutes and there are 10 bed sores on the body of people. I have seen bed sores where you can put your whole fist inside the bed sore. So much gap is there produced by one bed sore. And such three bed sores are there. One on the upper back, one on the two on the lower back. And patient is always lying on the tummy. So one dressing takes place 45 minutes. Sometimes one nurse is there with one patient for 2.5 hours. Then there is a IV drip adjustment, painkiller drugs, how much to give, how much drip to go on, what is the infusion pump dosages, what time to give, what time to remove, SOS, what to give, SOS, what is to be done. There are so many things. Sometimes you have to give ECTs, SOS, to curb the psychological distress. So nursing care. Social care means social worker comes in, he arranges for money, then he arranges for some assistant to take care at home or take care in the hospital, and so many things are brought in between to discuss about the situation socially. A father is very sick because the son is dying of a terminal disease. He's so shocked completely, so he has to be taken care of. All these social aspects, like we are having corona and we are having social aspects of corona, how to handle corona from public health point of view. So similarly, there is a public health point of view of a terminally ill patient. That is social care. Mainly it is money and mainly it is people and helping the people. For example, the patient is bedridden, there is no one to take care. So neighbors are trained to get the medicines. Neighbors are trained to come home and do housemaking. Neighbors are trained to come and clean the house or bring the housekeeping person, manage the house. Maybe the terminally ill patient's house is having plumbing problem or electricity problem. So the neighbor social volunteers are coming and helping to sort it out. All these come under social care purview. Then comes spiritual care. And people are always worried, what is going to happen to me? Is God there? If God is there, is he angry with me? Or if I am very God conscious and I am wondering whether I will go back to heavens or go to hell or go to meet the Lord. What do I do? What is lacking in me? Spiritual preparation. Please train me. So spiritual care. I will speak about it. And allied care means what? Everything else beyond all these four care is allied care. What is allied care? It can be playing guitar to make you feel nice. It can be taking the patient to garden on a wheelchair, or if he is ambulatory, mobile, the patient can be taken to some park or some seashore or some river bank and some forest to have a nice one or two hour trip. And there are social workers who come and do that. You can be yoga therapy. They can be acupuncture therapy, they can be acupressure therapy, they can be aroma therapy, they can be cow therapy, they can be so many therapies, they can be massage, there can be everything under earth. They can be singing classical to make you feel nice, to make you feel comfortable, make you feel really happy. Anything and everything that can make the patient happy in the given condition can all come under the terminology called allied care. So going a little bit in details in medical care, you see that what does medical care consist of? Mainly pain management, symptom management. Some people have hiccups, some people have constipation, some people have diarrhea, some people have headaches, some people have vomiting. So everything is symptomatically handled there. Keeping coordination with other care. That means medical care people are in charge of the interdisciplinary team of palliative care. There are many people, nurses involved, there are physiotherapists involved, pharmacists involved, there are ayabais, ward boys, housekeeping people involved, there are everything, everybody is involved. But the in charge is doctor. So medical care also means medical actual care and keeping coordination and lead the team. Then to plan for palliative radiation, chemotherapy, surgery, and to plan for advanced directive. This is a big subject in our palliative care training. That means how to plan the future and the treatment or the management of the patient in future. Physically, mentally, nursing point of view, socially, spiritually, what all needs to be done, what all can be done is written down in a document called advanced directives. These are directives for future with discussion with the patient and the relatives and the family members and the team which is taking care of the patient. These advance directives are made and they are implemented in the next whatever number of months where the care is being given. So this is the in short medical care. Next to that is we can see in photograph. This photograph is from our hospice Vrindavan, where you can see how the patients are admitted. And then we come to nursing care. Next is nursing care. And what does nursing care grossly consist of? Administering the drugs and monitoring, for example, the painkiller drugs. There are various levels of painkiller drugs, right from our paracetamol to morphine. Many high level drugs are there which come under actually addiction, but those are used here for pain management. Then the other major aspect is dressing of the wounds, and third is management of bed sores, because mostly patients who are terminally ill are bedridden. And fourth major thing is nutrition. How to nourish the dying person, how to nourish the person who is in cancer, how the person who is in variety of killer diseases, how to maintain nutrition, balance of nutrition. There are many, many, many more aspects, but major thing is drug administration, dressing, bed sores, nutrition. Social care. The major aspects of social care is mainly money, because finally money is the main important thing. When somebody gets terminal in your house, what gets exhausted is money first. Then what gets exhausted is people. Their energy gets exhausted. So fundraising is very important aspect for the care of the patient. So basically society has to come forward in the form of many trusts, and the social worker comes in action, and he or she keeps connection with all the trusts who support such patients. You make a case, make a presentation, get some funds for the patient from variety of trusts. Then will making is very important social aspect. Now the patient knows he is going to die. He has lot of desires. He has to divide his property with his relatives. He has some desires to fulfill before his death. For example, he wants to go to suppose some place, whether he is able to go or not, to find out, to play properly, make a will, what he wants to do before death, what he wants to do after death. All that has to be legally made. So even lawyer comes in as allied care. Then the care of relatives is also under purview of social care. They need to take care of the relatives who are undergoing various emotional situations and financial situations and health situations. This is under the social care. Providing health care volunteers and home health aides, they are called HHAs, to people who come home to make your home, to clean your home, to maintain your home, even to make hair of the patient, haircuts, hair combing, bathing, bringing medicines, bringing vegetables, maintaining the house, housekeeping, laundry, all this come under social care. Also recreation. The patients are quite lonely, bored, frustrated. So they are recreated by the social care team. They bring musicians, or they plan for outings, they plan for some one-day picnics, they plan for daycare gatherings of the patients who are dying to create their hopeful conditions. Many times event is arranged, called, we call it as Premanjali in our hospital, but the event is also organized in other institutions in the world, where all the terminally ill people who are mobile or ambulatory are brought together, and they share and give hope to each other. You don't feel so hopeless and depressed. We are still living our life nicely. So looking at the other terminally ill people, the people who are depressed, they get elated, they get enthusiastic, they feel positive. So such events are also under the purview of social care. And there are sometimes conflicts between whom? The caretakers. The mother feels one way, the son feels other way, the wife feels other way, and there is a lot of fights going on in the intense situation. There are fights going on about how to take care of the patient. There are differences of opinions. So social people, counselors, come in the picture, and they actually resolve the conflicts. They help the team to become coherent. They help them to follow the doctor's advice. They help them to follow the team's advice, and they make the situation very smooth. So social care is very heavy job description for them. And then comes spiritual care. Spiritual care is mainly talking, elevating their concerns, answering queries about God and spirituality and the fate of life and the future of life. A lot of counseling is given, constant counseling, encouraging, boosting the morale, boosting confidence, elevating fears. And the most important aspect of spiritual care is actual preparing for death. Generally, this is supposed to be very, ashubha, very inauspicious to talk about death and preparing for death. What kind of discussion is this? But in hospice situation, in palliative care science, preparing for death is a very common item. Now that you know I'm going to die, now that you know that my will is made, now I know from doctor that I've got 6 months, now I know that I've done my division of property, now what's exactly going to happen? Sir, what's going to exactly happen at the moment of death? Let me know. Then the spiritual care person will explain exactly what will happen, how the process will begin, what time you will be given active care, what time you will be eligible for end of life care, how the process of death will begin, planning for the event of death, and then what will we do after your death is over, assuring the patient your all will be fulfilled, we will do all the division of property, we will make sure that whatever your will is, we will fulfill that will. Lot of work is there. Medical people may say कि अभी कुछ नहीं कर सकते, अभी घर ले जाओ, भगवान से प्रार्थना करो. दैट इज़ वेयर एक्चुअल पैलेटिव केयर वर्क बिगिन्स. एंड यू कैन अंडरस्टैंड दैट सो मच ऑफ वर्क इज़ देयर इन सोशल एस्पेक्ट, सो मच ऑफ वर्क इज़ देयर इन स्पिरिचुअल एस्पेक्ट्स, मेडिकल नर्सिंग एस्पेक्ट, अलाइड केयर. सो इट्स अ वेरी एक्टिव डायनेमिक सिचुएशन. एंड नाउ द फिफ्थ आइटम इज अलाइड केयर. वॉट ऑल कैन कम, आई ऑलरेडी एक्सप्लेन टू यू. फिजियोथेरेपी कैन कम, मसाज कैन कम, आयुर्वेदा ट्रीटमेंट कैन कम, म्यूजिक थेरेपी, अरोमा थेरेपी, एनर्जी थेरेपी, रेकी, and singing and taking him outside and whatever under earth, under the sun and on the earth, whatever is possible is all is allied care. The purpose of all allied care is to make the patient comfortable and happy. Now we come to another important aspect, and at this time I think we will close our discussion because our today's PPT is not going to be complete. We'll complete it next time. That's why I mentioned it is a science of death series of lectures. So with this, one more important subject matter which is there in palliative care, we will discuss it thoroughly in next 5-10 minutes. This stages of grief is also important in medical practice, not necessarily only in palliative care. It is also important in family life. It's also important in corporate life, because grief is everywhere. You can't say grief is there only in hospital, or grief is only there in hospice, or grief is there only in crematorium. Grief is everywhere. Suddenly you come to know that your mother died in village is grief. Suddenly you come to know that my company is closed because of corona. Suddenly you come to know the plane crashed. Suddenly you come to know Lehman and Brothers, the biggest financial company in America, got closed. Now what next? So what happens when grief comes? And mostly the grief comes all of a sudden. Mostly the grief is not informing you, I'm coming on 24th of July, be ready. Nobody knows that. Most of the times the griefs are very sudden. All of a sudden they take place. And then when a grief strikes you, you undergo some transformations in you. And there's a set pattern. Everybody, whether you're a doctor or a nurse or a common man or a businessman or a rich man or a poor man or an educated man or an uneducated man or a strong man or a weak man or a black man or a white man, every person undergoes some set pattern of changes in him or in her. First is shock. If you are given your histopath report and I tell you, you have adenocarcinoma of the lungs, your report shows that. So first thing you'll say, no. Or first thing you may fall unconscious. Or you may faint. You may have a hypotension crisis and you may collapse. Because you can't believe it. Oh, really? I never thought I'm such a fit person that I'm harboring an adenocarcinoma of lungs. And then you are revived by people around you, and you are given IV, and you are unconscious now. And you have come out of shock, for example. It may take one day, it may take 2 days. Once you come out of shock, what is the next thing? Denial. How? Denial is explained. You will say, doctor, it can't be my slide. You must have mistaken with some other slide. Please check again. It cannot be me. I do yoga. I do this. I do that. I'm a fit person. I don't have diabetes. I don't have hypertension. I don't have heart disease. I don't have anything. I'm a young, dynamic, very fit person. How you can say, I have got adenocarcinoma of lungs? So then we go back and tell the patient, this is your slide only. The tumor was, whatever biopsy we took from you only is labeled properly. It matches the number also. And report is shown to the patient, and the patient will say, no, dubara karo usko. Wo usko Hinduja mein bhejo. And from there, Dr. Borges is there, she will do it. And I want to see the report again. Tata mein bhejo usko. I want to get it done from re-examined with the, send the block to Tata again. Let them make the film again. Let them stain them again. Let them examine again. And the reports from Tata and Hinduja laboratory all come with the same diagnosis. So then denial goes away. And then what happens? Then anger comes. What is the anger? What is the reason behind anger? See, I told my father that I am having the pain in the upper part of the chest or near my shoulder, near the clavicle. But father did not take me to the hospital. I told him the pain is coming. If it was taken care in time, today I wouldn't have come with this diagnosis. So you start blaming. You start blaming your wife. You start blaming your husband. You start blaming your company. My company is giving me so much stress. They make me run around every week to other country. I don't get time with my family. I don't get to eat properly. It's all because of my company. It's all because of my bosses who are so cruel to me. So you will blame your wife. You'll blame your husband. You'll blame your father. You'll blame your company person. You blame your job. You blame everything. So you get angry. Then you have to manage the story, by the way. You have to manage the shock. You have to manage denial by counseling. You manage anger by counseling. Lot of work is there here. Then the patient goes in bargaining. Now he is kind of settled down. He has understood that, okay, no need of blaming anybody. I can't blame anybody. I have got a disease now. Although my blame is right, what can I do about it? I have to treat the disease. So what he will say? Doctor, whatever money you want, please take. Whatever research has been done in the subject matter, do research. And the latest treatment in America available, please bring for me. And they will meet a so-called devoted nurse, devotee nurse. And they will say, sister, take this 1,000 rupees and put in your temple and offer a prayer for me, offer a puja for me, offer a something spiritual activity for me and my name so God can listen to my prayers. So he is bargaining. Bargaining with God, bargaining with treatment, bargaining everything. Ki somehow or other, he wants to put money, he wants to do some spiritual activities so he can get well. He can create a hope to get well. So he is bargaining. He does all kinds of things, all kinds of therapy. He is saying, Valsad mein koi cow therapy session hai, udhar jaake cow therapy karte hain. He is saying, Pune mein koi ek bada doctor hai, Ayurvedic. He is giving some magic drug, he is giving cancer theek kar deta hai. He is saying, Jaipur chale jao, yahan ek baba hai. वो कुछ फूक मारते हैं, वो पूरा डिसीज ठीक कर देते हैं, उनको एक बार मिलने पर चमत्कार हो गए हैं. तो इज बार्गेनिंग विथ ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ इलॉजिकल, इनसेंसिबल और सेंसिबल और वंडरफुल, ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ थिंग इज ट्राइंग एंड इज बार्गेनिंग. इन ऑल द टाइम व्हेन इज अंडरगोइंग बार्गेनिंग, यू हैव टू बी विथ हिम, ट्राइंग टू असिस्ट हिम, हेल्प हिम, काउंसिल हिम, एनकरेज हिम. देन वन डे कम्स, all his chemotherapies, all his radiotherapies, all his latest medicines, all cow therapy, all acupuncture, all massages, all jadi bootis, all babas, all holy dust, holy water, everything has failed. And the disease is going at the fourth gear, full-fledged. And the doctors are telling, now only 3 months left. So kya hota hai? He goes in depression. Bola, maine itna kya paap kiya hai? I have done so much. I tried so much, I spent so much money, so many doctors, India, abroad, many various institutions, various different pathies, and I have done so much good work. I have done so much good work in the past also for poor people, but unfortunately, I have come to the stage of death. So doctor is saying that you have 3 months. He says, I want to die today only. I do not want to undergo next 3-4 months waiting for death. Doctor, give me injection. And I want to die today only. Whenever in your medical practice, whether it is curative or palliative, if patient tells you, doctor, ek injection laga do, mujhe marna hai, is a sign of depression. He is in depression, that is why he is saying this statement. Or at home, your son or your daughter fails and doesn't get admission in NEET, very big number has come, 2600, and no admission is available. So she tells her friend, I want to die. What is the meaning of I want to die? That I am depressed. Then the boyfriend leaves the girlfriend, and then the boyfriend wants to, girl wants to commit suicide. Why is that? This kind of desire to die, you know, when still life is available to you, is a sign of depression. So immediately you have to get into action. Moment patient says this kind of statement, bring psychiatrists, bring counselors, bring everybody possible, and assure the person that you don't have to die by committing suicide. Lot you can do before dying. So it's a very stumbling block, depression. It takes long time sometimes, 3 months, 6 months to come out of depression, and avoiding patients from committing suicide or avoiding talking about death all the time. And then a stage comes which is called acceptance. And real, full-fledged, active, total palliative care can take place when there is acceptance from patient side. And please understand that the acceptance cannot be only from patient, it has to be from relatives also. These stages of grief, everybody goes through together, the patient and the relatives. The shock is experienced by the relatives also, denial by them also. डॉक्टर कुछ मिस्टेक हो गया रहेगा, आप देखो जरा मेरा पापा का ऐसा कुछ है नहीं, पहले से कुछ बीमारी होता नहीं, कभी कभी हॉस्पिटल में गए नहीं वो, सो पहला डिसीज कैंसर कैसा हो सकता है. द फैमिली विल से सेम थिंग, द फैमिली विल ब्लेम द डॉक्टर, द पैथोलॉजी डॉक्टर्स, द दिस डॉक्टर, दैट डॉक्टर. आई केम सिक्स मंथ बैक, यू नेवर टोल्ड मी टू बायोप्सी दैट टाइम, टुडे आफ्टर सिक्स मंथ यू टेलिंग मी टू बायोप्सी, यू आर नॉट अ गुड डॉक्टर. तो एंगर, तो रिलेटिव ऑल्सो विल डू सेम थिंग, रिलेटिव ऑल्सो विल बार्गेन. बहुत कुछ करते हैं, ढूंढ ढूंढ के निकालते हैं इंटरनेट में क्या चल रहा है, इधर क्या चल रहा है. देन द फैमिली ऑल्सो गोस इन डिप्रेशन एंड देन द ऑल फैमिली कम्स इन एक्सेप्टेंस. बट यू हैव टू अंडरस्टैंड वन मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंट थिंग बिफोर वी क्लोज, दैट देर इज अ टीम ऑफ पेशेंट एंड द रिलेटिव्स. ओके, से फॉर एग्जाम्पल देर इज अ ओल्ड मैन ऑफ 60 ईयर ओल्ड हु हैज गॉट अ टर्मिनल डिसीज, देन ही हैज अ 55 ईयर ओल्ड वाइफ नंबर वन, ही हैज अ 35 ईयर ओल्ड वेरी एजुकेटेड हाईली रिच सन, he has a daughter who is 40 year old and she is married and she is in one place, and he's got a very close friend who is a singer, for example. Now when the news is broken, the patient may go in shock, the relative may be in denial, the son may be in anger, and the daughter may be in bargaining. You will see that they are all in different stages. Or the father may, who is dying, he may say, I am ready for death, I am satisfied, मेरे को कोई चिंता नहीं है. But the wife may be in denial because she is going to become widow. The son may be in denial. The son may be angry with the doctor. So, palliative care team has to be intelligent enough to diagnose these different stages of grief in different people concerned in the affected party. They have to diagnose that patient is in acceptance, wife is in denial, daughter is in anger, and the son is bargaining. And each person has to be handled very nicely, intelligently, without intimidating them. And constantly the effort is there from spiritual care side and the social side to bring them on one level of acceptance. And it may happen that we may not be able to bring them to acceptance at all. They may die at the stage of depression only. They may die at the stage of bargaining only. It's possible. Patient may die in acceptance and the relatives may be there in the shock condition only. Some people are constantly in denial. They don't accept only, how can my father die? Even after dying also they don't accept. They feel that the father will come back somewhere, he is hidden somewhere, he'll come back one day. I have handled people like that, who have seen the funeral also, but they feel, nahin, father will come back one day. So denial is so deep. So this... everybody as a human being, you may not be a doctor or you may not be clinical research personnel, you may not be a businessman, you may be a common man. For every person to study the stages of grief is very important, because this may happen to you. Your neighbor may fall down tomorrow and you may have to handle neighbor's wife, neighbor's son and neighbor's friend and all the people who come to visit the patient. They will be all in different conditions. They will speak different languages. And through all these different languages, different stages of grief, you have to give your treatment. Medical, nursing, social, spiritual and allied. You have to keep on doing all these treatments. It's a big circus. Palliative care is a large, broad avenue where everybody is in picture, but the leader is a doctor. The palliative care physician is a leader and he guides everybody. He takes meetings with everybody and keeps on in touch with the patient. There is a meeting called as IDT, which I'll explain to you in next meeting. So, it's very important to study palliative care. Why? Because all of us are going to face death. Routinely, the deaths of our patient and one day our own death. So, if you study all these things, then you can prepare for death properly for the patients and for you also. So, I will end my today's talk here and I will continue my slideshow whenever we meet next time, and we'll have maybe four sessions to understand the total science of death. Now, if you have any question, you can ask me for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Anybody has any question? Doctors?
Nice topic, sir. Palliative care is generally not taken into our syllabus. So, it's a wonderful introduction.